prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution, the place where faith and reason coexist. They have already met. They met like, what, a couple thousand years ago.
And a few billion years ago.
And they we didn't really have much reason back a couple billion years ago.
Oh, you're saying reason only exists when humans came onto the planet?
Do dogs reason? I don't know.
I think God reasons.
He does. But I don't know. You're smarter than me.
I don't know. Maybe God doesn't have faith, though.
That's kind of crazy to think about.
Anyway, this is where faith and reason meet, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about something very near and dear to my heart today, something very important. We're going to get there. We also got a Bible contradiction today that we're going to answer.
Mm-hmm.
We are also going to answer a listener question about God manifesting himself in miracle ways, but why doesn't he do it anymore?
Right. So my big question is, why did you just give everything away? You said we are going to answer it. We're going to attempt to answer these, so stick around to see if we do or not.
Oh,
how's that?
You don't know. You just don't know if we'll answer it or not.
That's right. There you go.
So we'll go from there. All right, but we are going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart today, and that is, I know normally this show is about reason and logic and science, but we're also about Christianity, and we're about why some people reject Christianity. Mm-hmm. And some people reject it because they say we're not logical, we're not reasonable.
Right.
But I think a lot of other people reject it because they think we don't live the way we say we should live.
Amen. And there's a lot of Christians that don't live the way they say they live.
That's right. And so today we're talking about one of the ways Christians should live, and that is doing foster care and adoption.
Mm-hmm.
This is National Foster Care or National Adoption Month, and one of the best ways to do that is adopt out of foster care. There are kids who are waiting. My wife and I do foster care, and we had a girl who was about 8 years old. And then we had another foster girl who was about 5 years mm-hmm. old. And it's so funny because the eight-year-old was much bigger, taller, just bigger all around. And she was older. And the little five-year-old comes up to the eight-year-old and says, "Can I borrow your shoes?" And the older girl says, "No, I don't think so." And then the little tiny five-year-old just snaps her fingers and goes, "Well, you're going to have to deal with it." She
wow.
just like blasted this girl like, "Hello." I mean, she's a generally nice girl, but when it came to certain topics, bam. I mean, she's going to try the nice way first,
right.
But if that doesn't work,
right?
Like, that's just who she is. And, you know, sometimes I think God does a little bit like that foster girl.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he snaps. He's like, "You know what? It is over.
Right.
Let me tell you how it's going to be."
Right.
And we see this happen in Isaiah chapter 1, okay? One of the greatest mistakes Israel ever made was practicing the form of religion without showing God's love.
Right.
Listen to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 to 15.
"The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams, of the fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats."
No pleasure.
"When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This is this trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen."
Dang, God sounds mad.
Wow.
Right? In other words, he says, "You've given sacrifices for your sins, but I don't care."
Right.
Israel apologizes for sin, and it makes no difference to God. Their offerings were meaningless to him. God says, "Your incense is detestable." Verse 13, he says, "I can't even bear your evil assemblies." And what were those evil assemblies? Religious ceremonies.
Right.
They were going to church, and God hated it. And in verse 23 and 24, he tells them why. And this is the answer.
God lists some of the offenses that prove their religion is useless. Isaiah 1:23, "They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them."
You hear that? That's what God said. He's saying, here's the reason why I'm so mad at you. You don't defend the cause of the fatherless. Did you catch that? He's not going to listen to their prayers. He hates their gatherings. He wants nothing to do with their apologies. He doesn't want their sacrifices. Why? Because they don't care about the fatherless, the orphans. Israel acted like they cared about God by doing all the religion, but they didn't show love to the orphans who needed it, and that ticked God off.
Right. You know what's really, really scary?
What?
Is that sounds a lot like people today.
Well, it does. Sometimes we have a form of religion. We can go to church. We can pretend to put money in the offerings or put money in the offerings. We pray to God to forgive our sins, but we're not doing anything for the people who need our help. And God's looking at us going, are you serious?
Right.
Are you serious?
Well, this is one of those things where God doesn't want our sacrifice of money or offerings or whatever. Right. God wants our sacrifice of love.
Yeah. Especially for these people who need it, for the orphan, for the child who has no father. This is about God's love. In fact, it's sometimes his love produces anger. God's love for these children is so great, every single one of them, that when he sees religious people walking around going, I follow God, but doing nothing about these kids, should that make God mad?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, that should make God mad. Check this out. This is 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21.
Okay, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar.
Liar!
For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
And it's interesting to hear that word must isn't in the Greek. This Bible part was written in Greek, but it says, whoever loves God must also... excuse me, must also love his brother.
Bless you.
Yes. That word must isn't in the Greek. Just right here, it says, here's the command. Whoever loves God loves his brother, period. It's like a command, but it's also like this assumption, right? It's something we should do. It's not a suggestion. When you feel God's love, go ahead and make someone else feel love. No, it's not like, gosh, I'm not loving enough, but I've been told I must do so fine. No, it's automatic.
Yeah.
God loves you, you love others, period.
Here's the thing that I think of when I think of that verse, a set of scales. Mm. Love for God and love for your brother. Bam.
Yeah.
And they equal out evenly.
I think of a mirror. Mm-hmm. And like my son this morning was shining a flashlight in a mirror and it was amazing. It hit that mirror and I could see the bright light in the mirror, but then I could also see the bright light on the wall.
Right.
It's like the love of God hits us and it's automatically redirected into someone else's life.
Amen.
It's just bam, right there. As someone who believes in Jesus, you and I automatically should reflect the love that God gives us. Period. No one commands a mirror when the light hits it, please reflect. Right? A mirror has no option. A mirror is all like, well, normally I would, but today I'm in a bad mood. I just been really grumpy. Right. Finances are really tight now. So I know I normally reflect light, but it's just hard right now.
Right. No, a mirror does exactly what it does.
That's right. It reflects the light that's put onto it. Mm-hmm. And that is what we do constantly, all the time, with as much intensity as God's giving us love, we love others. 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar.
Ouch.
That's pretty harsh.
Mm-hmm.
He is a liar. When you say, I love God, but you don't love someone else, right? It's impossible to not reflect God's love if you love God.
Wow.
Anyone who does not reflect God's love doesn't actually love God, period. And these instructions that John gave were specifically about loving fellow Christians, but I think it's clear what should happen in general. When God loves hits us, we become reflectors of that love. And Israel was not reflecting God's love.
Right.
They weren't reflecting it to the orphan, to the fatherless. And so when they went to the temple, when they prayed, when they believed in God, God said, I don't care.
Right. It was empty religion, basically.
It was. Mm-hmm. And if you're not loving, if we're not reflecting the love of God, then all our religious duties amount to dung and nothing else.
Yuck.
So, according to God, this love must be given to the orphan. We would say in our context, the foster child, the child with no father. God wants nothing to do with the religion that's about you and only you. All right, let's come back to this, but let's answer a Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible Contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks over the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Okay.
Are we all sinners or not? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
How about Job 1:1? There was a man whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright.
Oh!
Yeah, well, that's what it says right there.
So, Romans says we all sinned, but Job says Job said
Job didn't, right?
Well, what's up? All right, and our cracked acronym, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
The D stands for, and it's not, I'll give you, it's not Denver Broncos.
It's dialect.
It's dialect. Mm-hmm. The types of words that you're using, the types of phrases you're using. The Bible uses things like hyperbole, exaggeration. Uh-huh. In fact, I think here, when it is giving us the verse in Romans 3:23, Paul is teaching theology. And he says, all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God, right? We're all sinners. He's teaching theology, point blank, period. That's the statement.
Right.
In the book of Job, it's giving a narrative. It's not giving you bullet point facts of theology. It's a narrative. And it starts with this, it's called a periphrasis, okay? And what this is, it's you're adding superfluous words to extend the message you're trying to get. For example, instead of saying, that's a bad idea, you might say, that idea is about as good as walking on broken glass and swallowing a sword without knowing how.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I got your point.
Right. If you were going to come up with an idea and I said, that's about as good as swallowing a sword without knowing how, I don't literally mean your idea is going to damage your throat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to point out that's a really dumb idea.
Right.
And here, I think when it says that Job was a man who was perfect and upright, I don't think it's actually trying to say he never, ever, ever sinned. I think it's trying to get to the point, swallowing a sword's a bad idea. I think it's trying to get to the point, Job was a really good guy.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I mean, I'm thinking maybe he was being compared to those around him as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know, Job was actually a really good guy. He followed God and everything he did. He was really successful, really wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And but that wasn't the big deal. He was perfect and upright.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And then there's also this thing called a polysyndeton. Now,
a what?
A polysyndeton. And it's using an abundance of conjunctions between clauses to make your point. Uh-huh. Okay, it says, like, I do not like cats, nor dogs, nor horses, nor caterpillars, nor anything that lives. Uh-huh. All right. And I'm repeating, like, some of these things for emphasis just to get... It doesn't really matter whether or not I actually like cats or dogs. That's not the point. The point is I'm grumpy, right? I'm repeating something to give an emphasis here. Right. And it's doing the same thing in Job. It does this sort of thing, right? The man was perfect and upright. Mm-hmm. And it actually goes on later. He even talks more about his character. I think it's doing this type of thing where it's repeating these phrases unnecessarily to drive home the point. Job was really good.
Right.
And then you have to look at the context of the whole book. The whole book is the point of the whole book of Job is, even if you do great things, bad stuff might happen.
Right.
Amen. And you still have a responsibility to worship God.
Amen.
And that's the point there. And so it's trying to set up Job's a really good guy. So this isn't a contradiction as long as you know your literary utilities.
Ta-da! So get out there and learn your literary utilities.
Oh, yeah.
So that you don't get fooled.
I keep a list of literary utilities on my computer.
Do you really?
I do. I look them up every once in a while, refresh my mind. I'm serious.
He's a Bible contradiction nerd, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, no, but for people who teach and talk for a profession like myself,
right,
you know, you want to have this catalog of literary utilities. How can I explain this in a different way? Oh, I know. I can do this.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right. Let's go back to the orphans and foster care stuff, okay? James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself being polluted from the world. All right, pure and faultless, synonyms, it means very clean, right? So the type of religion that God wants compared to the type of religion that Israel was giving. Okay, God wants pure religion, not fake religion. Israel was giving fake religion because they didn't care about orphans, but they worshiped God anyway.
Right.
God wants pure religion where it's not fake. It's real.
Right. Ultimately, what it comes down to is everybody's being selfish. Nobody wanted to extend any love to anybody else.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And God says, do you want to have pure religion? Look after orphans. That's what it says in James 1:27. Now, hey, you got to get out to Revolution Church.
Right.
We're
going to
come back right after this break. We'll give you more information then. In the meantime, go to truthrevolution.tv. We got two shots on there. Lots of good stuff. Revolution Church, we're live online. You can watch Sunday mornings if you don't want to come in person. But please feel free to come in person no matter what's going on. You can get to the church side by going to revo.church, revo.church.
Right.
And check us out, truthrevolution.tv. If you want to donate, You're the one who makes the show possible financially. And so, yeah.
Amen.
All right. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
I stubbed my toe today.
Ah, that's how you know God exists.
That's got to be the worst line of argument I have ever heard.
Wait a minute. Hear me out.
Okay.
You stubbed your toe and suffered.
Right. People suffer all the time, often in unimaginable ways.
Is it good for them to suffer? Is that how it's supposed to be?
No, it's not good to suffer. That's not how it's supposed to be.
How do we know that? There must be some external frame of reference, something outside ourselves that determines what should or shouldn't be.
If we were merely physical objects and there was no God, we couldn't actually say, suffering shouldn't be. We'd only be able to say, suffering is.
And maybe we couldn't even say that. The word suffering itself implies some kind of moral or principle. If we were only biological machines, we would only have stimulus and response.
But we are more than stimulus and response. We know what should and shouldn't be. There must be a God, a principle giver, that determines that. TruthRevolution.tv. Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're talking about true love today.
Huh.
The true love that God wants each and every one of us to have.
Which is a love for orphans.
Hmm?
And a love for God. And that's expressed through our love for the fatherless, the orphans, the kids in foster care.
Right.
You had some experience with foster care.
I did. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which way it is. I was way too young to really remember it. But I do have siblings that had and remember their experiences at that time as well.
Yeah.
So, because we were all taken away from the family. So.
And some of them don't describe that experience very well.
No. The experience that a couple of them had were very, very raw and terrible.
There's a serious need for foster homes who actually love children well.
Right. Amen.
I just saw this video yesterday. It was things people say to foster parents. And I was laughing because it's all true. Like, one of the things was, oh, I just love kids so much, I could never do that. Yeah. And it's people really think like they love kids so much that they can't do foster because it'd be too hard. But here's the deal. You and I have a choice about how to handle our heartbreak. Little kids don't.
Oh, amen.
I mean, they're sent into foster care against their will. Nobody asked them. They're going to be heartbroken no matter what. You, adult follower of Jesus, have a choice about whether or not you're going to allow your heart to be stretched and maybe even broken for the orphan. The kid doesn't have that choice, but you and I have that choice, and it's a choice we need to make.
Right, and not only that, but I mean, we're looking at
children that come out of those kind of lifestyles, when they have heartbreak and stuff like that, and they feel like nobody loves them, they're eventually going to grow up and they're going to resent life. They're going to resent people.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just creates a cycle. And then their children are going to be that way, probably abandoned, you know?
Yeah. No, that's huge. I mean, most of the foster kids we get, their parents were in foster care at some point. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge reality. Now, you don't have to be perfect. A lot of people think, well, I'm not a good enough parent. You know, what if I did the wrong thing? These kids have been in trauma. They need help. I've made mistakes. You don't even want to know. One time we had this girl, she was about 5 years old, and she was talking about how people did not want her. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that at 5 years old, you've already cognitively processed the fact that people don't want you.
People don't want you, right.
It was heartbreaking. And she was only with us for a 3-day temporary stay. It was a police protective custody, so just a 3-day thing. But I wanted to help her better when she asked, does everyone want me to go away? And she was asking about our house. And I said, no, you're cute and you're a fun kid. We only send away the ugly ones. Oh, but then everybody goes, oh, like all the other people in the room look at me and I'm like, what? I'm like, Jeff, she's supposed to leave tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm just
no.
like, oh, man. Yes. That was like.
So a safe. So what you're saying is that it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, she was okay.
Yeah,
she needed a loving home for that moment. Everyone makes mistakes. No one's a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent. Neither are you going to be. We need people who are willing to love, not people who are going Amen. To be perfect.
Amen.
All right. So someone might say, yeah, but God hasn't told me specifically to do this.
Oh,
yes, he has.
I beg to disagree.
Yeah, yes, he has. James 1:27, Isaiah 1, Psalm 146, command it. And when you receive love from God, that is the same thing as being commissioned to care for the orphans, because you should reflect that love.
Right. And the thing is, too, is when you, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead because I do that.
No, that's all right. You're too smart.
We are adopted into God's family.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe foster care isn't necessarily adoption, but it's a certain type of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So God adopted us, and God has constantly told us time again in the Bible, what I do, you do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. I looked up the information. You know, we can talk about there being millions and millions of orphans worldwide. Mm-hmm. I didn't look it up for every town that...
It's very weighty.
...that this radio show is in. I didn't look it up, but I looked at what it was for our town that we're in right now in Salina, Kansas.
Right.
63 orphans is all, not millions.
Wow.
63. There are hundreds of churches listening to this broadcast. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of people listening to this broadcast. The listeners of Truth Revolution alone could stop orphans in Salina, Kansas. We could make that go away.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. So, all right. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go ahead and answer a listener question today, because I think we got an important one.
All right.
Okay.
Listener question today, the article by an atheist with an interesting question for pastors.
Okay.
Thought maybe you could take a look at it. Why does the Bible routinely depict God as manifesting himself in dramatic, unmistakable ways and performing obvious miracles even before the eyes of non-believers when no such thing happens in the world today?
When no such thing happens today. There's two things that I want to say to this. First of all, the premise that no such thing happens today may be a false premise.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen God do pretty amazing things. So I'm not sure that we could say that God doesn't perform miracles today.
Right. I've seen God do amazing things as well in my life.
Yeah. We've prayed, we've laid hands and prayed for people and they've healed right away.
Mm-hmm.
So God may do miracles, but I'll agree that on the order of a giant fire burning above a nation to tell everybody that God's presence is right there, or Jesus rising from the dead and Paul the apostle, like just handkerchiefs that touched Paul being brought to people and then being healed of leprosy. That sort of stuff doesn't happen today. We actually brought a guest on one time, Jacob Ali, or maybe we just read his article. He had made the point that even if you look at the Bible, it covers a span of being written over 1,500 years. And in that time, almost all the miracles are located in basically three spots.
Okay.
You have Moses, then you have Elijah, Elisha, and those prophets, and then you have Jesus and the apostles. And really, that's it.
Right.
All the other times, there really wasn't miracles going on. So the assumption in the Bible is not that miracles are normal and happening all the time. The assumption is that normal life was happening normally all the time, and in very special moments.
Right. Flashpoints in history,
right,
if you will.
Especially those three flashpoints, mm-hmm, is when the miracles happen. And so, you know, why does the Bible routinely depict God as manifesting himself in dramatic, unmistakable ways? It doesn't. It doesn't routinely do that. It's saying something crazy happened and we're writing that down for you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's worth writing.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, Moses was around for 100 years. Jesus was here and the apostles were here for, you know, 50 years. Elijah and Elisha were there for 70 years. So, I mean, you add that all up together and you've got not even 200 years out of 1,500 years.
Right.
And so let me go ahead and just do the math really quick. That is...
You can do math.
No, that is less than 13% of the Bible's history actually having miracles occur.
Wow, that does make a difference.
So, yeah, I mean, we're talking like 87%, 88%, maybe even 90% of the timeline of the Bible, not miracles.
Right, and thus that lines up with today, even though we do have miracles that might not be the huge flashpoint miracles that, mm-hmm, we see in the Bible, miracles still do happen today.
Well, yeah, but we shouldn't necessarily expect to see orders, miracles on the order of Moses, right, or Elijah and Elisha or Jesus, because it wasn't even that way during Bible times.
Right. Very well explained there, Jeff.
Thank you, kind sir.
You're welcome.
Whatever your name is. How'd you get on this radio show? I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, we're talking about God's love today and about how our love should be reflected, how God's love should be reflected through us,
yeah,
in the care for orphans.
That's right.
And the love for God.
Listen to Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 to 19. It says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing."
Right. Let's be clear about this alien, okay?
All right.
This is one thing I was thinking about. You know.
Yeah, Mars people is who it's talking about.
No. It's talking about people that do not live in your specific area.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, making sure that people understand that.
People who are generally defenseless.
Right.
Who are at risk. Psalms 146 says, "The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked," right? Children who have no father, God loves them in a special way. He really cares for the orphans. Are you sensing God's heart for the orphan here? If you're not, you're not listening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are children without food, and you're complaining that you don't have the newest Xbox game. Seriously? Seriously?
All of a sudden, I feel really bad.
There are children who are stuck in an institution with nobody willing to take them, and we're complaining because we don't have a big enough TV.
Right.
People, wake up, Jesus followers. Wake up. We need to follow God and live the way he's taught us to live instead of living for ourselves. If we could wipe out orphans in Salina, Kansas.
Amen.
We could do that.
Amen. And the big deal about that is, where it pertains to us, is that God says, if you don't do these things, you are not my follower.
Exactly. Exactly. He says, if you don't care about the orphan, you're not being listened to when you pray. You're not, God isn't receiving your sacrifices. At least that's what he's telling Israel. Right. I mean, this is a big deal. Now, there are questions, right? Some people will say, well, what will my family be like if I bring in one of these kids? Will it be scary? Will the kids like me? Will they hurt my kid? Will they hate you? Will it disrupt everything? And those questions are fair questions, okay? I ask them too. I ask that question every time we get a call.
Right.
Because I've got 5 kids in my house right now. We've adopted 2, 3, we have guardianship 4. And every time we get a call for another kid, I'm asking myself about this kid. How will this fit in? What's it going to do to the dynamics? But I suggest that those questions don't answer the question about whether or not you should help orphans. It only tells us what life might be like when we do. All your questions and all your fears about foster care and adoption do not invalidate God's call to help the orphan.
Amen.
They may be good questions, but we're still called to act.
Right. And there are other ways to act than just taking them in.
As a matter of fact, we're going to post on our website 7 ways to help.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
You can pray for them. You can speak up for them in court. You can provide financially. You can support people who help orphans. You can actually become a foster parent. You can mentor and care for a foster child or an adopted child. You can be a good relationship with them, or you can support and care for birth parents. whose children are in foster care who are going to be adopted or who have been adopted. So there are at least 7 ways. There's probably 100 more. But take these 7 ways. If you can't adopt or do foster care, at least do something because God's told us to. We have to obey. All right, Revolution Church, truthrevolution.tv. Get out there. Come on out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you.
Truth Revolution.